Metaphysics I would leave in the cloud with the materialists and spiritualists, with Leibniz, Berkeley, Priestley, and Edwards. And I might add Human Read, or if permitted to be read, it should be with romances and novels. He writes, I cannot foresee much utility in reviving in this country the controversy between the spiritualists and the materialists. Why should time be wasted in disputing about two substances when both parties agree that neither knows anything about either? If spirit is an abstraction or conjecture, a chimera, matter is an abstraction, a conjecture, a chimera, for we know as much or rather as little of one as of the other. I want to look at Jefferson's response. Jefferson immediately goes back to taking these issues seriously. He refers to Cabanis in his Physique et Morale de l'Homme, has investigated anatomically and most ingeniously the particular organs of the human structure which may most probably exercise that faculty. And they ask, why may not the mode of action called thought have been given to a material organ of peculiar structure? So he was informing Adams. I mean, I know a little bit more than you about this. Neurology will save the day. Well, look out for John Adams. John Adams is a Harvard graduate. He's read no small amount of philosophy. He writes back, 60 years ago at college, I read Berkeley, and from that time to this, I have been fully persuaded that we know nothing of essences. I confess I know not how spirit can think, feel, or act any more than matter. But I insist upon it that the saint has as good right to groan at the philosopher for asserting that there is nothing but matter in the universe as the philosopher has to laugh at the saint for saying that there are both matter and spirit. And he has, in fact, a good argument, because Jefferson's point is we don't understand the problem of interaction. How is it that a physical thing like the brain can produce something ideal like the mind or thought? Adams follows Berkeley in throwing the challenge back at the materialist. He says, well, look, the classic case of materialism is always the Newtonian example of billiard ball striking. And he says, when two billiard balls meet and repel each other, we know nothing of the cause, contract, or repulsion than we do of spirit. We see nothing but motion in the case. And what motion is, we know not. Oh, delightful ignorance! When I arrive at certainty that I am ignorant and that I always must be ignorant, while I live I am happy, for I know I can no longer be responsible. Well, Jefferson tries to figure out try to make some sense out of this dispute, and he sort of fumbles along. Ultimately, Adams will let it go. Jefferson writes back, but enough of criticism. Let me turn to your puzzling letter of May 12th on matter, spirit, motion, etc. Its crowd of skepticisms kept me from sleep. I read it and laid it down, read it and laid it down, again and again. And to give rest to my mind, I was obliged to recur ultimately to my habitual anodyne. I feel, therefore I exist. I feel bodies are not myself. There are therefore other existences. Okay. Jefferson is fumbling. He can't make sense out of this argument. Adams, caring for his friend, lets it go. Adams is interested in something else, and perhaps his greatest contribution to the correspondence is to draw out from Jefferson what Jefferson himself cannot express, which is his stance towards being, his feeling towards life. And Adams knows him well enough that this will be the greatest legacy, the greatest tribute he can make to his dear friend. And he does this by asking him these goofy questions. Suppose you knew the world would end tomorrow, what would you do? Suppose you had the option to live your life all over again, and you have to live it the exact same way, would you do it? And Jefferson responds, you ask if I would agree to live my 70, or rather 73 years over again, to which I say, yay. I think with you that it is a good world on the whole, that it has been framed on a principle of benevolence, and more pleasure than pain dealt out to us. My temperament is sanguine. I steer my bark with hope in the head, leaving fear astern. And that's the classic statement of Jeffersonian optimism and faith in the future. And I want very briefly to read you Adams' response, because it shows the sense in which Adams both admires and loves Jefferson, but can't follow him. I admire your navigation, and should like to sail with you, either in your bark or in my own, alongside of yours. But then he has to conclude on another note. Suppose the cause of the universe should reveal to all mankind at once a certainty that they must all die within a century, and that death is an eternal extinction of all living powers, of all sensation and reflection. What would be the effect? What would men say to their maker? Would they thank him? No, they would reproach him. They would curse him to his face. And that's the contrast between these two men, bound by love, one the optimist, the other the secular Calvinist, as it were. And it's a tribute to their minds that they created this wonderful legacy, which continues to edify and inform us to this day.